And this one is spiritually. I believe that God wants to show us how to be real spiritual people, you know. And we sometimes we misinterpret spirituality with emotional sense. We feel that we have to feel it in order for us to be spiritual. Or sometimes we confuse it with being, just kind of like mystical. You know, you think that's spirituality. And there's more to it than just a feeling. And people actually go to church to find a feeling. And it's amazing because throughout our lives and throughout my life in the past, I made decisions according to how I feel. Matter of fact, I am influenced by my feelings every time. And if I don't feel it, then I don't want to do it. And it's like that with this generation. If you would listen to the conversations of this generation, you'll always hear them say, "I don't feel it anymore." Or this new word that everybody's using, "I feel a certain way." And they're always telling, "I have to feel it. But I don't feel this." And they're conducting their whole life, making decisions according to their feelings. I talked to a counselor, and I was talking about this generation. And she goes, "You know, you're right, Pastor, because I'm a counselor, and I'm constantly, one of the things that they coached me to do every time I'm counseling people, I tell them, if I say this, how do you feel?" And they're trying to get their feelings out, and they're constantly trying to find out how they are feeling. Matter of fact, before you've gotten saved, maybe that's how you've run your life. Now when we come get saved, we're still running on feelings. Let me prove it to you. Sometimes we come to church and we have this thing that unless I feel it, then I won't do it in church. So sometimes what happens is that you've gotten saved, you've given your life to the Lord, but maybe you fall in sin and now you don't feel God's love anymore. And then all of a sudden you just feel like out of place. Or maybe we struggle with doubt. And all of a sudden you had faith, but now because you don't feel it, now you start doubting. We start doubting, we struggle with that feeling of being loved. We're struggling with that feeling of longing. Now, some of us, you know, we don't even get into the worship unless our song is being played. But I don't like the song. I'm not even going to lift my hands at this one. Oh, but I'm going to see a victory. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm gonna do that one. Right? It's also, and how many here have ever got in their car and you just change the mood by putting on your jam? Right? You know what I'm talking about, right? That jam that, you know, that would just change your whole demeanor, right? You were going through it, but then you just put on that jam and then all of a sudden, it just changed. Your whole feeling just changed. You know that feelings are brought upon us because of what's around us? And you ever felt like somebody's watching you? Right? You know, you still listen to that jam? Come on. You're always freaked out about somebody's watching you. Paranoid. All worried about somebody's watching you. And your whole life is conducted about what's happening around you. Matter of fact, some people, and I always teach this to my leaders, is that you got to be a thermostat in the house of the Lord. Right? You got to control the temperature. You know? And if you're not controlling the temperature, then something's controlling you. And so you have to know that's what's happening. Sometimes all around you, if everybody's crazy, you get crazy. Right? If they're mad, you get mad with them. Right? Or they're happy. You're all happy too. And everything has to do with your environment. And sometimes that's what happens. You know, feelings and emotions are two different things. Feelings is internal. Emotions is external. See, emotions is an external manifestation of an inward feeling. You see, so sometimes we want to confess a feeling.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. Come on, how many holding?
sometimes you might catch a feeling but catch a case at the same time. Come on. You get that feeling that something's bad about to happen. And you know, and then you go by your feelings even in relationships. You know, and I think people have this hard thing. They're confusing love with feelings. And how many here, by show of hands, that you say that love is a feeling, or maybe you say love is a commitment? How many here can say love is a feeling? Raise your hand. All right, nobody feels. Oh, somebody, come on. Hey, I got one hand. Anybody else? Just love is a feeling. I got Daniel over here. All right. Anybody else? Love is a feeling. Oh, I got the back row. Come on, somebody. Love is a feeling. Now, how many here can say love is a commitment? Raise your hand. All right. A lot of hands being raised. Love is a commitment. I would venture to say both of you guys are right. Because true love is committed to regenerating the feelings back again of love. You know, how many know that if you're married, when your wife does the laundry, that's pretty sexy. Yeah, it is. You know that when she does a good dinner, man, that's really sexy right there. Oh, but when the men, when you put out the garbage, that's super sexy. That's super sexy. You know, the Bible says in Revelations, it says this. It says if you've lost your first love, you know what it says? Because it is a feeling. You've lost it. You lost that feeling. You see, love is a commitment to bring that feeling back again. So what does it tell us in Revelations? It says, well, do what you used to do before and you'll bring the feeling back again.
Wow. Come on now.
You see, sometimes we get it. I don't condone or I don't put down feelings. I believe that we all need to have feelings. Amen. But we need to control our feelings instead of feelings controlling us. You see, here the Bible says that you need to bring that love back again. You know what that happens? It happens not only in relationships, but it also happens in church. Sometimes you come to church and, man, you had a great month. It was great. But then after a while, you say, I don't feel it no more. I'm not feeling it no more. It's not the same anymore. It's just things have changed or whatever it is. And maybe you just keep looking for this feeling, but God is telling you, you need to do the things that you used to do and you'll get that feeling back again. Maybe you should go back to that life group you stopped going to, right? Maybe you should go back to the Word. You know what? What I encourage you to do? If you want to get that feeling back again, come early to the worship service. Come early. Come on. And be a part of the time of prayer and worship. And, you know, when I take out my wife and we go out to eat, I don't just, you know, go there and just eat and leave. I go there to talk about stuff, have fun, and then we eat a meal. How many know sometimes that's what happens in church? We just come get our meal and leave. How many know we need a fellowship? We need to connect. Let's get the love back in the church. Come on. And that feeling of love will keep coming back. And that's what we need to know is that this church is meant so that we can spread the love. And that's what we want to do. We want to just spread the love. We don't want to know your business. We just want to give you some of our love. Come on, somebody. We just want to love on you. You see, Pastor Sonny said this a long time ago, and I heard him say this. He said that church, people just want to feel good. That's why they go to Disneyland, right? They just want to feel good, right? You just want to feel good. You want to take a break from reality. You just want to feel good. And I get it. We want you to feel it as we're worshiping God. We want you to feel the love of God again. We want you to sing unto the Lord and feel this love again. And feel that emotion again. And feel that heartbeat again. And feel the love of God again. But you got to understand that. But if you just put your total trust in feelings, you might end up at a dead end road several times in your life. And you can't trust that feeling sometimes. Even if it's a good feeling, sometimes it might not even be something you can trust. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. And it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know what that means? Stop leaning on what you know and start leaning on what he knows. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we go back to what we know. You gotta move forward and ask God, what do you want me to do? And so, you know, the Bible describes the heart. Matter of fact, it speaks about the heart so many different times. It talks about the heart. And the heart, and the way they describe it, is the seat of your emotions. You make decisions according to what's in your heart. How many have ever said, it's in my heart? I know nobody knows if you know what's in my heart, right? How many have ever said that? You know, it's in my heart, it's in my heart. And when people say that, I get worried. Because what the Bible says about your heart, right? Oh, it's in my heart. I'm just going to do what's in my heart to do. And I'm like, okay. Well, the Bible describes your heart a certain way. And it says it in this right here. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spread out its roots by the river and will not fear heat that comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from the yielding fruit. And it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Sometimes when people say, I'm just doing it within my heart. Well, your heart is wicked. Better watch it. You better watch it. You see, sometimes the circumstances in our life generates an emotion of depression. You know, anxiety or fear or sadness. You start dealing with all these feelings because you're so, you know, controlled by your environment. And, they say that when it's raining outside and when it's cloudy outside, there's a lot of depressed people inside. You know, usually the atmosphere or the weather even dictates how you feel inside. And as Christians, as believers, if we're running like that, you're going to run in and out of church. You're going to backslide and keep going back because you're running on this feeling all the time and it keeps running out. And then you're left with depression. How many know that you could be a Christian and still be depressed? Oh, yeah. You could be a Christian and still have anxiety out of control. You could be a Christian and still suffer with fear and sadness. You could be a Christian and still have those things because maybe you haven't discovered what the Word of God has to say about your state and about where you're at, about your marriage and about your family, about your kids. The Word of God, when you begin to speak over your situation, you control what you're feeling. You see, your feeling, if you're not careful, will lead you to the wrong person in relationships. You see, I get it. Sometimes we feel a certain way about somebody and we're like, wow, they're cute. Oh, wow, she's pretty. But just because you have a feeling about somebody doesn't mean you have to go after that somebody. That's right. Oh, it got quiet up in here. Amen. Well, it doesn't mean just because you're cute on the outside, you don't know what's going on the inside. It must be ugly on the inside. You see, that's why you need God's word to help you to decipher if that person, and the Bible says you'll know them. This is the Bible. You'll know them by their fruits, right? You don't know them by their suits, but you know them by their fruits. You look at the outside and you say, oh, they're looking good. You don't know what's going on in the inside. You'll know an apple tree by his apples. You'll know his orange tree by his oranges. You'll know a man of God by what he does in the outside. Is he praying? Is he seeking God? Is he out there? You see, you'll know them by their fruit. And when you begin to see that, and that's what the Bible says. See, sometimes I get it. You get those self-help books, and that's all right. I get it. You're out there trying to get some positive information. You're going on YouTube, and you're looking for self-help information. But there's no better help than getting the Word of God into your spirit. Because the Bible says if you hear the Word of God, it adds faith to you. Come on, somebody. And it will also regulate what you feel. I'm trying not to spit at you here this morning. I'm trying to control that.
Go ahead, Pastor.
I mentioned baptism was on Easter, not today, right? Come on. Get baptized on Easter. Amen. And it really is important. That's why it's important that you continue to stay faithful in the things of God. That's why it's important to go to a life group. That's why it's important to learn God's word, because now you have a fighting chance over your feelings. Because when we go through it, you know, and And there's so many people that go through with their feelings. And this generation today, I would venture even to say the third wave generation today. This third wave, and I believe in God that God will begin to do something great in this generation that we're reaching here today. But I'm telling you, there's one thing that I see as a warning sign. They're running on feelings and not faith. They're running on emotions and they're running on, oh, it's great to be up on stage. But I'd rather, come on somebody, I'd rather move in faith and clean a toilet than come up here in emotions. You see, this generation that's coming up, and if you hear me, if you're online, you might be that generation. You might be on Facebook looking at me right now. You didn't come to church because you were emotionally depressed. You might be sitting there in your living room, in your bedroom, but I'm here to let you know you probably should have came to church this morning, but thank God you're hurt. You're hearing the word right now, but I'm telling you, there's no place like being in the house of God. Oh, come on. Being in the house of God and experiencing His presence. I catch it. You get it online. That's good. But man, there's nothing like catching the Spirit. It's all right. Amen. But let me just tell you. Kind of leave you 3 points. And if you're writing notes, I want you to write these things down. They will break the spiritual barrier that you're dealing with today. I believe people are, they have a misunderstanding of how to be spiritual. Number one, if you're taking notes, I want you to put this down. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. What do I mean by that? And there's a scripture in the Bible that's found in 1 Samuel. It talks about King Saul, where he became king and he decided, to reign. Of course, he was reigning, but he decided to do his own thing. Even though God told him to do one thing, but he began to do his own thing. And so this story depicts a man that was partial obedient to the things of God. It's like you believe that God is real and you believe that you're serving Jesus. So you partially are obedient, but then you expect the full blessings. It doesn't work. You can't be halfway obedient and expect a full blessing from God. See, that's what King Saul was trying to do in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. It said there that Samuel warned him and he said, wait a minute. It says after he was partially disobedient, if you know the story where he told him to kill the whole group of people that were there and to even kill the animals and kill everything, and then also to destroy everything. But they decided to take part of some of the good things of the land. And then all of a sudden, he decided to listen to the voice of man instead of the voice of God. And here, let's read the scripture. So Samuel said, this is the prophet speaking to King Saul. It says, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed then the fat of rams. Here, he was telling him, I get it, you did a good thing, but you didn't do the right thing. You know that we could do a good thing, but not the right thing? You know, there's good, wholesome people giving you good, counsel, but it might be a good thing, but it might not be the right thing. I don't like, well, this is what happens, and I hear this all the time, is that a person that's not married giving counsel to a person that is married about how to be married. Really? You know, how can you give counsel to somebody you're not even married yourself? Or you can't even keep a husband yourself. You're trying to tell me how to keep a husband. Amen. Is the microphone on? You probably shutting me off on Facebook right now. I get it. I don't want to hear this no more. I'm just letting you know, because sometimes we get good counsel, but not the right counsel. And so here, King Saul, he got bad counseling, and maybe it was like semi-okay, but then he just said, hey, maybe we should keep some of these rams, and maybe we'll sacrifice them unto God, and maybe we'll do this and do that, and we'll just keep some of the people. We don't kill all the people. And that's what happens sometimes in church. Sometimes we'll go outside to get counseling, but we don't go inside to get help that we need. You know, and that's why we have the church today, is because this is a church that I believe that God wants to deliver people from addiction. God wants to set people free from oppression, from depression. I believe that this is a church that God wants to use to save your whole entire family. I believe that this is a church that God's going to use to restore you, to heal you, deliver you, set you free. And if I could be real with you, and I would preach the word of God without hesitation, without worry about how you're going to receive it, because you know it's not Pastor Bob speaking, it's the word of God speaking, and that you would receive it and say, oh, forgive me, Lord. That you would receive it as the word of God has given it to you. You see, sometimes we just lean on our own understanding, and we think that these sacrifices that we're making are good enough. No, God doesn't just want a sacrifice. He wants your whole life. He doesn't want a part of you. I'm giving you my Sunday, but God doesn't want just your Sunday. He wants every day. He doesn't want one day. I gave you a Sunday. I get it. You started to come on Sunday. That's great. That's awesome. Woohoo. Come on, somebody. Right, give your neighbor a high five. You're here. Amen. You're here on Sunday. Amen. But not only that, God wants to get also a hold of you on Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, that every day of the week that you would serve the Lord. You see, Samuel dabbled in the spirit of witchcraft. And why do I say that? It's because a lot of people, they think that they could be religious and still think they're going to heaven. They think they could have a form of godliness and denying the power of God, and they think they're still okay. You see, they could think they're spiritual and everything else, and this is the problem. Sometimes people come in here half believing what God is saying, and they come with this spirit of witchcraft. The Bible even talks about it in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. It says that right there, it says that he says he had the spirit of witchcraft. He was rebelling against the things of God. And so you might take some of what God has to say, but not all of what God has to say. Let me tell you about spiritual warfare. Sometimes you get, how many of you ever gotten freaked out that something moved in your house? The gagui came into your house. All of a sudden, the window closed all by itself. The door closed. Right? You're freaking out. Did you hear that? Somebody's watching you. Right? Come on, you're freaking out. You're freaking out. Closing the windows. You're looking outside. We're freaking out, right? And then if you're somewhat spiritual, devil, you're a liar. Get out of my house. You start screaming at the devil. And your kids are like wondering, what are you yelling at? You know? Devil, get out of my house. You see, sometimes we can come, and you think it's power against power. You think it's like, you know, devil's power against God's power. And there's this big battle against powers. And it's not about powers. It's about the truth and the lie. It's not about how loud you could yell and how much you could spit at the devil. It's about how much you're living for God and walking in truth that's going to scare the devil. You want to, let me teach you about spiritual breakthrough. You walk in obedience, and disobedience will be punished, the Bible says. That means when you walk in obedience, oh, you don't even have to say anything. Barely. You just have to, devil, get out of here. Why? Because you're living right before the Lord. You're living right before God. And when you punish, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, it says that punish disobedience with your obedience. That means that when you trust God, even though the devil tells you to do something else, even though your friends tell you to do something else, you know what happens when you take a stand in your house? Spiritual breakthrough will begin to happen in your home when you take a stand in your home. Then you'll begin to see and experience the presence of God like never before in your house. It will no longer be chaotic, but it'll be peaceful in your home. It'll be joy. Matter of fact, there'll be more laughter in your home, more God in your home. Why? Because you guys are beginning to stand. And you begin to say this. If you're the head of your household, it doesn't matter if you're a man or woman. You say this, as for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. You'll see there's no demon in hell that can stay in your house. They can't hang out. They can't hang out in one of your bedrooms. They can't hang out in the closet. They can't hang. They'll be just like, there's no room for me here. There's no room for me here. Because nobody's trying to live that lie anymore. We're trying to live the truth. See, the second thing is this. If you're writing notes, I want you to write this down. You got to put on the mind of Christ over the mind of the flesh. Mind of Christ. How many of you have ever met somebody that every day they're a different person?
Oh, yeah.
Don't point to your neighbor right now. That's bad. Don't do it. Every day they're a different person. It's not, how are you? Who are you, right? Who are you today? Just want to know. Just want to make sure before I talk to you so I know to leave the room or stay in the room. And the Bible talks about that. It talks about emotionally unstable people. Peter was one of them. The Bible called him the reed. He was like back and forth. And the Bible says, no, you're no longer a reed. You're no longer just going with the wind, but you're a rock now. Call him a rock. You see, the Bible talks about it in James too. It talks about it. Talks about this problem that we have. That we put on the mind of the flesh rather than the mind of Christ. And it says right here in James chapter 1 verse 6, it says, but let him ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now, you aren't going to receive anything like that. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You know what the Bible says in the Greek about double-minded? It's deep, right? Let me give you some deep knowledge here about double-minded. It's two brains. That's what the Greek says. It's two minds. You're two-minded people. Two brains. One is practical and the other one is spiritual. The one is logical and the other one is faithful. It's just like you have two brains. It's like two brains are operating and they're not complying with one another. One is fighting against the Apostle Paul mentioned that too. He says, man, I do what I don't want to do. He was complaining about that. I do what I don't want to do. He was complaining about the stuff that was happening inside of him, his sinful nature. And the Bible talks about putting on the mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says this, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, but of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because so are spiritually discerned people. It talks about spiritually discerned people. In other words, they don't understand it. They're caught in between. But he who is spiritual, there it is, judge all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For the Bible says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. You see, it talks about spiritual discernment, but putting on the mind of Christ, meaning that you put on what the Word of God has to say about your situation. That it's not practical, but it's spiritual. Come on, somebody. It's not logical, but it's faithful. Sometimes it's not logical to keep coming to church when your problems still keep happening. Right? I've heard of people come to church and, you know, sometimes, you know, there's some people that say, you know, if you serve God, it's like a bed of roses and the butterflies are going to fly all over your house and you're going to be so blessed. You're going to have money like crazy. And the Lord is going to give you all the desires of your heart. Who lied to you?
That's right.
Right? Do you know that when you declare that you're going to serve God, the devil declares that you will not? So what does he do? He meets you back at the house. You come to church, and you're like, yes, I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to serve the Lord. And you come back home, like, oh my God, what happened? The devil just did something to you. He just declared war. But see, this is where your obedience is tested. When you stand in that place, you say, you know what? I'm going to put on the mind of Christ. I'm going to put on, you know what? I'm going to put on the helmet of salvation. Come on. I'm going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to put on these new shoes I got. I'm going to shod my feet with the gospel of peace. Oh, come on. You see, you decide, you know what? Devil, you're a liar.
Right.
And you begin to take that stand. And I'm not telling you here today, when you put on the mind of Christ and you begin to do that,
You begin to see spiritual breakthroughs happen in your life like never before. How many here want a spiritual breakthrough? It's time for this church to get a spiritual breakthrough. I'm tired of seeing people backslide because the devil slapped you. Come on, somebody. I'm tired of people seeing, you know, just because you've lost your job, it doesn't mean you got to stop coming to church. Just because that joker left you. Come on, somebody. Because that joker left you. Come on. He didn't deserve you anyways. Scary Mary left you. You know, she just... Right? It's all right. You got somebody better coming your way. They didn't stick around. They didn't deserve you. Sometimes you just, things are leaving you. Things are leaving you. And you're just going, put on the mind of Christ. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put it on. Put it on. Because you know what? I'm not going to be dictated. Come on. By the things that the world is throwing my way. I'm going to be like a flint in the house of the Lord. What that means, you're going to be steady, steadfast, unmovable, unshakable. I'm going to keep going, even when it doesn't make sense. I'm going to keep bringing my family to church. Come on. I'm going to keep bringing my... I'm going to drag my kids by their ears. They're coming to church. Come on. I'm going to take my little girl. I'm going to bring her to... I'm going to teach her. I'm going to teach... I'm going to keep moving. Even when it doesn't make sense. Even when it doesn't make sense, it's not supposed to make sense. Faith never makes sense. It's when you step out in faith, you believe God by faith that He will come through for you. You know, that leads me to this third point here, is that you got to be devotional over emotional. You got to be devotional. You know what that means? How many here have a devotional? What I mean by that is something that you have every day that you read from that encourages you to serve God. That encourages you to pray. How many here have a devotional? If you don't have one, buy one. Go to the Christian bookstore. Go online. You'll get one. It encourages you to continue to move forward. The Bible talks about encouragement. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, in the New American Standard Bible, it says this, not forsaking our own assembly together. In other words, don't stop coming to church. As it's in the habit of some. Some people just have a habit of just missing church, right? But be encouraged. Everybody say, be encouraged. One another. And then the Bible says, and all the more as you see the day approaching is drawing near. Come on, it's coming closer. The day is approaching. The evil day is coming. But stay encouraged. You know the word encouragement means? That means you find courage in a bad situation. Come on, somebody. That means when somebody's encouraging you, that in the Greek, it means that somebody will go alongside of you. Somebody will encourage you to face the hardest things in life and still do the right thing. And that's what you'll find in church. You'll find us encouraging you.